everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And in this podcast, we are going to talk about the finer points of syndicate ownership. We are going to talk about any, you know, suggestions and topics and just drama, tea, whatever it is that our listeners, that our partners have asked us to come on here and hash out and talk about. We're going to have guests whenever we can get them, whenever they have some time that they can put aside and come and sit down with us. And we're in this season, and we'll, you know, we decided let's start with a Kentucky Derby preview, and we did it, and we did pretty well. So we thought, let's do a Preakness preview. We didn't do that great. So here we are, Jared. How are you after our beleaguered showing in the Preakness?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about how the track and the track conditions were going to potentially be a major, major factor. And they were. I mean, I think the horses that excelled all weekend were horses that loved the sloppy conditions, that loved the soft footing on the turf.
Yep.
And, you know, they excelled in the conditions and were the best horses on that particular day.
Yeah. And you could tell, even like when you look at the results and you look at the turf racing in particular, the horses, and we're not just talking about the Europeans that shipped in or the kind of the Cali, because the California Evader was Balnikov, I think is or Balnikov, I forget. I think that's what his name was. But he shipped in from California, and one of the interview, when I think it was Donna Barton Brothers, was speaking to Frankie Dettori, what she even asked him, well, how is he taking this? Because he's only ever raced in California. I mean, and it rains as often as it snows in Hawaii in California. So, you know, and she asked him, well, how did he take it? Because this was his first time either in ever or in a very long time seeing a ground that heavy, that soft. And Frankie said, oh, he cut through it like butter. He says, I was floating. So horses, so absolutely, the turf horses that could handle that condition, that could definitely get some kind of grip, some kind of purchase on those courses, were definitely the horses that were winning that day. Because it was not going to be easy. And from what I could see, at least from the on the main service, the main track, it did not seem like horses were closing. Like, well, you had to get to the lead. If you got to the lead, you stayed there and you won. Because I know Balnikov in the dinner party came way out of the clouds. But, I mean, he was one of very few that day. I don't think closing was very popular last Saturday at Pimlico.
Yeah, and you know, you have to figure that they knew the conditions were going to be rough. They probably had the dirt track, at least, prepared to take the rain. And that's what you see a lot of times. You know, if they get that track sealed and a lot of the water is sitting on top of the dirt and they can just kind of skip over the top of the surface, I mean, it benefits speed horses tremendously. It's when that track gets opened up or it starts raining, you know, midway through a card,
yeah,
and they haven't prepared the track, that's when you get, you know, the real boggy, deep, heavy, thick tracks that can be rough on the horses going out front. But I mean, my goodness, he, you know, Seize the Gray didn't have a speck of dirt on him anywhere, mud on him anywhere for all the mud that was on that track that day. And it's just, yeah, because he was able to get out to a really easy lead, and they let him go out there to an easy lead, and he just skipped right over top of it and ran the race of his life.
Yeah, and we mentioned, we talked about this in the preview, especially for him. I mean, again, congratulations to everybody who, all what is it, 2,570 mm-hmm. owners on Seize the Gray or something like that. You know, congratulations. It's hard to do. It is hard to do to get to that level, to have a horse that good. You know, and this is by no means a knock against the horse, because he went out there and just did his job and he looked like he was enjoying every second of it.
I'm just going to build on that. But, you know, you're right. He did his job. And you know, Dwayne Lucas flat out did not want to run him in the dirt. And the Preakness is a very, very different race than the Derby. And you look at some of the comments that Lucas made after the race, and it sounded like after he won, well, I guess it used to be that. Is it still the Pat Day Mile?
It's still
It
the
used
Pad
to be
Day
the Pat
Mile.
Day Mile.
It
Yeah,
is.
Pat Day Mile. It was something else. It used to be the Derby Test, that's right, or Derby Trial, and
Yeah.
now it's the Pat Day Mile. So he pointed to this race right out of the gate, and it's a little bit shorter, and it's certainly a whole lot less horses, and he just he felt like the horse was right. But yeah, hats off to D'Wayne Lucas. I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it, and congratulations to everybody involved. Now, I will say this: somebody sent me something. Again, I'm not. This is not meant to be bashing or anything like that. This is just facts as they exist. And somebody sent me this the day after the race because they knew that we do racing partnerships and so forth. And they saw all about the 2,500 or so partners, and they did a little digging around. And these are some numbers that they sent, and we've checked them out, and they look pretty accurate as far as we can tell. So basically, my racehorse had purchased 19 horses in the either foals, foals in 2021 or 2022 yearlings or 2023 2-year-old sales. They purchased 19 horses for $6.4 million. So they are playing. They are buying expensive horses, and running in the Preakness Stakes or other big races like that. That's what you expect when you're buying 400,000 or 500,000, $600,000 horses. So, 19 horses totaling $6.4 million. Granted, they had partners and so forth on that, but so they didn't spend that whole amount of money. But that's the total amount of money spent on those horses and those 19 horses. Granted, it's still early in their 3-year-old years, but those 19 horses have run a total of 36 times. They've won 6 races. They've come in second twice, and they've run third 8 times and earned $1.988 million. Of course, Seize the Gray has run 10 times, won 4 times, ran third twice, and possesses 1.819 million of the 1.988 in earnings from the My Racehorse horses. The second leading earner for those horses has earned $63,000.
Yeah, I was going to say,
So,
you said there's 19 of them.
correct.
So if we do some very, very basic rudimentary math and we divide those 36 starts among those 19 horses, well, obviously with Seize the Gray.
Well, it's 26. It's 26 starts amongst 18 horses
Yeah.
because he's got 10 of them.
Yeah. So they're still averaging barely 1.5 starts a horse right now.
Right, and again, the second highest earner of those 19 horses that they spent a ton of money on, $63,000 in earnings.
Yeah.
So
It does show you the luck of the game, doesn't it? That you can buy a princely price tagged horse, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee that this result, every time. Because you would think
exactly.
if that was the situation, that they would have had a whole starting gate of Preakness starters, right?
Yeah,
But
and again,
the game
it's early
is
in the
weird.
3-year-old year of these horses, so a lot of them have, I'm sure they haven't started yet, and a lot of them are still have a chance to get good. So again, I'm not trying to say that bash them in any way, but they definitely hit the jackpot on Seize the Gray, and you're buying 19, 20 horses, out of one crop, you're bound to hit something that's fairly decent. Especially when you're spending the kind of money that they're spending. But my point in all this, it really is to say that spending a ton of money and throwing a bunch of money at horses to buy horses that are sexy and attractive and might make for great resale doesn't guarantee that you're buying any kind of a decent horse at all. And I've told the story, I tell the story to partners and prospective partners all the time. We kind of experienced a little bit of that ourselves in 2017 when we bought Wisteria for 200,000, Cowboy Diplomacy for 175, high powered for 100 and Temple City Terror for 22,000. And she was far and away the best of the horses
Yep.
of that crop.
Multiple graded stakes winner, my friends.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's, so I'm not attempting to downplay what they've done and the accomplishment of Seize the Grey, because it's fantastic. And we have a good number of our partners that are involved with Seize the Grey. And I sent, I'm happy for them. I saw one of them on television walk into the winner's circle, and I sent him a text and said, "Hey, you're looking good on the TV next to Kenny Rice." And so it's just to say, you part of it is, I guess, a little bit, to show what we're up against. That's part of what I'm saying, I guess, because the money that they're spending and the deep pockets that they've got, and the fact that they're able to spread it out, spread that cost out amongst 2,500 plus people, which is something that we have no interest in doing. We like to have a little more personal touch, and provide a little better experience, or what we hope is going to be a better experience, with our people. But it's really tough to compete, with those kind of dollars. But you look at what we spend and what we get out of it, I feel like we match up pretty well. We're just coming up a little bit short on some of the big time stakes races, but we'll get there. But again, so I guess I have several points in doing this, is a little bit of defense of in what we're doing and why we haven't had a Triple Crown winner yet. Every year, it's my every time somebody finds out what I do for a living, "Oh, do you have horses running in the Derby?" And I'm like, "Well, not yet." So, but it's just, and this also plays a little bit into some conversations that Mark and I've had, and we were going to have Mark on to talk this week about kind of the state of racing in Kentucky and what we're up against in Kentucky these days.
Yep.
But Mark is on jury duty this week, and
Oh, Uncle Sam has called him.
he's been called. Well, he's served all month, and he's shown up every Monday, and every Monday he's gotten out of it. Yesterday they stuck
Somebody
it
got
to him.
smart.
Yeah, they stuck it to him, and he's seated on a case. Don't know anything about the case. He can't talk about it, obviously.
Yep.
But interestingly enough, one of the ad execs for the Blood Horse magazine is on the same jury with him. So
Oh,
they've
a
been
small
talking shop.
world.
They've been talking shop during breaks. And of course, she called today and hit me up for some advertising. So anyway. We'll get back to that state of racing in Kentucky, and kind of, it kind of comes back to, the dollar amounts that we're seeing. As
Yeah.
Kentucky racing, for a number of years was not what it is now, and the game has changed here over the last couple of years since the historical racing machines were kind of legitimized by and codified into law.
Yeah.
So it's changed the landscape here, and
Yeah.
we're going to have a whole episode on that coming up.
Yeah.
But no,
Well,
congratulations
yeah.
to Seize the Grey. And if Seize the Grey had not been in there, I had the superfecta. So I basically had second, third, fourth, and fifth in the right order. I
I was gonna say
just did not
we.
account for Seize the Grey.
I was gonna say I was like we actually in terms of the winner we fell pretty flat because and I'll be frank with you I still don't think he wants to go that far. I think he just got a very
Got put in the
fortunate
storm.
a very very yeah a very fortunate pace
Literally
set up for him.
and figuratively, it was a
Yeah.
perfect storm. The conditions, and then
Yeah.
they just let him walk out front.
Yeah,
Yeah,
like you cannot like we talked about it almost immediately after I sent you a message and I'm like he put everybody on a leash and walked that whole field. Like you cannot let horses because he is still a good horse. We're not saying this is a bad horse. Like you cannot let horses who have his talent, who have his capabilities alone on the front. And that's exactly what
that's what
they
they
did.
did. And yeah, they still made a decent run at him at the end, but
Oh
he
yeah.
just had way too much left in the tank,
Yeah.
and
Well,
he made it
I
look
was gonna
bad.
say, it's like aside from Seize the Grey, I mean, we still had I had great faith in Mystic Dan. I think he did very well for himself for having something that absolutely was not gonna suit him. Because Seize the Grey was not tired when he was coming back. So
Not at all.
I think Mystic Dan and Catching Freedom, especially those two, where they had a monstrous trip, especially Catching Freedom, where he was what, 15th or something like that at first or second call. Like, he was way back there. All he got was mud to the face, and then he got mud to the face again on Saturday. But like, that horse is so tough, and I feel like when he finally catches that break, I think both of them are. I think the fact that both of them, despite the fact that there was a front runner loose by himself, and they still had enough to keep trying to keep going, I think that also speaks a lot to the quality of both of those horses. And I think when they finally kind of catch that break, they're gonna be very hard to beat. And I don't think this was a situation where the Derby was just an offshoot, one offshoot. I think these horses very much kind of put that stamp to them and said, look, this was not a fluke. We have what it takes to be consistently good Grade One horses. So that's my little spiel for that.
Interesting. I'm anxious to see what this whole Belmont at Saratoga Racing Festival or whatever racing the Belmont Racing Festival at Saratoga or whatever the hell it is they're calling it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I will say this: I'm a little glad that Mystic Dan did not win the Preakness.
Yeah, that would have been a weird conversation to
Mystic
have.
Dan. But for everybody saying that it was not a real Derby because Muth wasn't there, whatever, that everybody, including myself, quite frankly, would be saying a Triple Crown winner and a mile and a quarter Belmont Stakes is not really a Triple Crown winner, at least for me.
Well, and I mean, and
But
I
still, they would have gotten the crown next to him on next year's Derby glass, and that would have been okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still though, like I think I kind of called it when we had that conversation. I was like, I don't think we're gonna have one this year because there were so many contenders shaping up to kind of be that it was gonna be a very interesting year because outside of the Baffert horses who are all consistently trained to run on the front, be stupid fast, and then re-break and keep going. Aside from that, the best horses coming into the Kentucky Derby, by almost on a blanket basis, even the Japanese runner, were deep closers. Like, the whole cast was a deep closer. And don't get me wrong, that I love that style. I love that style, and it wasn't just like Temple City Terror had it, Zenyatta had it, Sierra Leone has it, the Forever Young has it. Like, I love that style because it makes the race so exciting. And so just you bite your nails down to the wire. It's a good thing mine are fake, but it's like down to the wire. I love those kinds of finishes. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'll be the first to say it. But they're not very conducive to winning races, especially when you are not an absolute freak where pace and setup and nothing else matters. Like, very few horses are that big of a freak where nothing matters, right?
Oh, no doubt about it.
So.
If you are counting on a big run at the end of a race, you have to catch a lot of breaks. And
Yes.
we saw it ourselves many times, personally up close and personal.
Yep.
And it's just the reality of it that things have to go your way. You've got never is trip more important than when you're a big
Yep.
time closer. You get boxed in on the inside, or you fan out too wide in that
And
lower
sometimes you just
turn,
have a
and
bad day, and sometimes it's
sometimes you
just
just
not
got
your
to get there.
day.
Yeah. Sometimes, and if the pace doesn't work for you, if the pace
Yep.
doesn't set up right, I mean, just so many things can go wrong
Yep.
with that style of running. And but I'm with you. I love to see just the mad dash. That's why I like turf racing so much,
I
by the way,
know. I
is
am team
the
turf
mad
racing all
dashes.
the way.
The mad dashes to the finish line with four or five horses across the lane,
Yep.
hitting there together. It's just
That's awesome.
much, so exciting, so fun.
I say, I imagine the stewards do not greatly appreciate that when they have to split them by the millisecond, but that's why you have the high speed camera. That's why you're up
That's right. That's what
there.
those cameras are for.
So, oh my God. So speaking of kind of to get on to our to kind of get onto a back into our in-house topics to kind of shift away from the Preakness, it was very exciting. And from what I heard, several people, aside from the Seeds of the Grey owners, obviously, but from what I heard, several people had the Exacta, and it was interesting enough. More people seemed to be able to accurately predict that Seize the Grey would allow to essentially be allowed to walk. Because I heard a bunch of people cashed in some big tickets over there. So congratulations to all of you. You guys saw whatever the rest of us did not. Because
Yeah, I don't
we
think anybody on the broadcast, all the so-called experts on the Preakness broadcast, I don't remember any of them picking Seize the Grey. And certainly, it's Patty and I neither did, not that we're
No.
experts. I mean, I'm not a professional handicapper by any stretch, but I
Yeah.
just I didn't think anybody was gonna let him go that easily. I thought
I
imagination
did
would be up
too.
there with him.
I did too.
Imagine and the bottom line is imagination tried, and he either just wasn't good enough
I don't think he
to be
handled
up
the
there with
wet,
him. Or
honestly.
he just didn't handle the track at all, which,
I
and
think.
it could be either way.
Well, I was looking people the I was looking at it. Obviously, I've got a pretty extensive network of like photographer friends and coworkers and associates and whatnot, but people were posting pictures where this mud was so deep. Like if you did not pay attention, it swallowed up everything. Shoes, small animals, you name it, it was gone. So imagine, I think for imagination, the issues centered around the fact that he is showing up where it's fast and dry, and again, it almost never rains, and suddenly he is in mud past his ankles. And it's
That's a
definitely,
huge part.
I think that's ultimately what kind of zapped his enthusiasm for that. 'Cause you could tell almost right off the bat, 'cause he has the speed and he tried for a bit, and Frankie kept him so far off of that rail. I mean, he was gonna run probably an extra 50 feet at least, even if he didn't kind of peter out towards the end there. So I think that was the felling blow, I think, for the California horse this year. It was just in the mud. It was miserable. So
Hard to argue that.
yeah, but again, try number two in-house. Let's go. So we had so speaking of which, we did have some things change. We did have some things shift around lately. We have a couple who are coming close to going back to the track. Taken to the cleaners, has been retired. She is our black type, now brood mare. And she actually visited a stallion that you will finally actually recognize this time as we talk about him. But do we want to go ahead and start then with taking to the cleaners and talk about it? Or do we want to start with the 2-year-olds
Sure.
who are moving? Do you have, what's your poison today,
Yeah,
Jared?
we can start off talking about taking to the cleaners and
Okay.
her situation. So, basically, we received a couple weeks ago the news that she was had bowed a tendon. That's not an injury that you can come back from quickly.
Nope.
So, considering her age, her status as a stakes-winning mare, we made the decision to go ahead and retire her. And then, we were up against the clock because late or mid-May, with a new mare and a new breeding prospect,
Yep.
there's not a lot of options with her. You're certainly
Nope.
not attracted to sell at this time of year without a baby in her belly. So Mark and I got together and spoke with the folks at SB Stables. And we determined, came up with a plan to get her to the breeding shed as quickly as possible. And we sent her to Caracaro, the leading freshman sire and the sire of one of our very promising 2-year-old prospects. So she went to see Caracaro on Friday, and I think she went again on Saturday just to make sure. And we are now awaiting, it's good cover, now we're awaiting her pregnancy check at the 14-day mark. So hopefully she is taken and will be in foal, and then we'll go from there.
That's very exciting. Like it's so is she going to be, do you think, one of the mares where we might try to potentially put her into one of those digital sales? Because we talked about humanity's love for online shopping. So are we gonna try and leverage that and see if somebody wants to online shop a pretty chestnut?
Yeah, we will probably put her in, assuming she is pregnant, we will probably put her in the July phase of digital sales. We will put a reserve on her that we believe to be fair. We are still trying to work out what that number is going to be. We'll get the reserve on her that makes sense. and we'll probably run her through there and see what happens. And if somebody gives us what we believe her to be worth, then we will send her on to a new home, a new career, and a new happy life, making babies. If we don't get the price that we believe to be right and fair for her, then we will bring her own home and add her to our small broodmare band.
Also to a happy life.
And yes, well, we know that she'll be taken care of wonderfully and have every chance in the world to become a successful mama.
Absolutely. So, and speaking of Kara Caro, because he's actually had some very interesting kind of like updates, I guess, for his offspring recently. Obviously his first stakes winner was a filly, and it was West Memorial. And I was reading about her recently that I don't know if I'm not sure, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but judging by her performance, and how well she's doing, and I think, you know, they kind of put their heads together with their advisors. And the last I heard was that the plan for West Memorial was to perhaps try a trip to Royal Ascot. So that's definitely very interesting. That's a very I'll have to check around and poke around and see maybe if that's been confirmed yet, or if maybe that was just something they were floating around. But I mean, you always like to see that because Royal Ascot, like we talk about how tough Keeneland is, and we talk about how tough Churchill Downs in on Thurby Week is. Royal Ascot is pretty much that, and sometimes on steroids, because you will have the Japanese who come in with their absolute heavy hitters. So Royal Ascot is crazy, and if you have a horse that can go over there and win and compete, you have something quite special. So the fact that they saw her performance and thought, you know what, she might, she might be able to do this. Like, I think that speaks a lot to the future that the Caracaros are that they're seeing for their Caracaros. I think it is the bottom line. Like, the fact that she's already a stakes winner here in America, and they're like, you know what, we should try.
Yeah,
I you know,
that's interesting.
that's very cool. Well, and you know, that's not to say we're claiming our Caracaro is going to be a Royal Ascot horse, but it would be nice.
would be very, very nice. Caracaro's got another he got another entry coming up, maiden special weight at Churchill Downs on the 26th. So that is what, Sunday?
I think so.
Sunday, yes. Race three with Purse Thief,
Oh.
2-year-old colt. So
Okay.
that's going to be a 5 furlong
Okay.
dirt race, I believe.
It is
So
Sunday. It is the 26th.
Caracaros are getting out there and running a little bit. So that's exciting to see. Our Caracaro filly, Caracaro Breeze, just going lights out. We keep kind of waiting to see if maybe this training schedule for such for the young filly might catch up with her, but man, she's just the more we throw at her, the more she seems to love it, and she is very likely to head to Brendan Walsh at Churchill
Okay.
Downs here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Now, I shouldn't say for sure that she will go to the barn at Churchill. She could go to Turfway.
Yeah.
She may go. I'm not sure when he's going to send horses
But
to
it will
us,
be under his tutelage.
but it will be under Brendan Walsh.
Yeah.
That's who she's going to. Brendan was super excited when we started talking to him about her. He is really high on Caracaro as a stallion, and loves what he's seen of the offspring at the sales and around the track. And
Yeah.
so he couldn't wait to get her into the barn. So she'll, I guess, don't know if she breezed there or not. I know Mark had jury duty and I didn't go. They might breeze.
From what Casey told me, they're breezing tomorrow, because I'm going out
Okay,
tomorrow.
tomorrow. Okay,
So I will
so
be
yeah,
out there.
so I knew it was going to be today or tomorrow, and I just
Yes.
wasn't sure what they decided on. So she'll be breezing again tomorrow. They'll probably stretch her out a little bit more.
Which is Wednesday, which is when you're hearing it. So today.
So it'll be too late. You can't when you hear this, she's already gone,
Yeah.
or she's already breezed. So, but anyway, she's
But we'll
doing
have a
great,
video for you, don't worry.
and just really, really happy with how she's ticking along. Triumphant Spirit, another 2-year-old, the War Will filly. She went
Yep.
to Brendan on Friday.
Okay.
Settled in very well, and he likes what he sees out of her so far. But obviously, it's just been a few days, so
Yep.
can't read much into that just yet, but
Yep.
yeah, so the 2-year-olds are at the track and heading to the track. And we kept kind of thinking that Honorary, the dialed-in filly, might get a break, and at this time of year, and because we've always kind of felt like she'd be a little bit later, she's going to need a route of ground. And man, last Tuesday was the absolute best that she has looked since we've had her. I
Very
mean,
nice.
her breeze on Tuesday
Yeah.
was phenomenal. And like I said, going into that breeze, that morning at the, kind of the thinking was this was going to be her last little breeze, and then she was going to get a break.
Yep.
And after that, we're like, okay, there's no reason to stop on her. She has really turned, or not, I shouldn't say she's turned on a dime. She has just elevated her game a little bit, and just really
Is the
just
light starting to come on, you think?
light coming on, that sort of thing. Yeah,
Yep.
exactly. So, and she's really starting to kind of seems to be figuring things out. So the decision was made, you know what? She's going great right now. Let's keep her going until or unless she tells us that she needs a break. If she tells us she needs a break, she'll get one. But right now, she does not need that break. And we thought maybe Temple City Taboo might be getting ready to go to the track, but she had just a little puffiness in an ankle before the breeze Tuesday, so she didn't breeze. But at the same time, it's nothing. Had she, if she was at the track, if she was, if we had races picked out for her, if there was a reason to be in a hurry with her, we probably could have just, Kevin said himself, if she's gearing up for a big race, you probably just go ahead and breeze her, because it's probably not, the chances of it being anything, other than just a tiny little hiccup is pretty small. But we're not in a hurry, so let's just take a little bit of a break with her. So she just jogged the rest of last week. She's going to jog this week and get right back at it. But I still think that she is going to be, have the potential to run this summer. And we're hoping that she will be ready to roll, and maybe even with a race under her belt by the time Kentucky Downs rolls around. That's kind of what we're hoping for Temple City Taboo. Long way to go, before we, that's September, so it's a long way off. But that, if you're looking, and we don't, those of you who've been around us, and been with us for any length of time, we don't typically like to make plans too far in advance. So that's just kind of what I'm going to call it for now, wishful thinking.
I mean, it's fair. It's not like it's an incorrect way to
Well,
describe that, so.
considering the maiden special weights at Kentucky Downs this year are
Oh,
$200,000,
yeah. I mean, that's a stakes race at some tracks.
at most tracks, that's a stakes race. So,
If they
yeah,
want to throw money at us, I will not
absolutely.
object.
So, hoping that Triumphant Spirit's also going to be taken to, she should definitely be ready by then, assuming
Yeah.
no setbacks.
I will be very interested to see if she takes after the War of Will who won the Preakness or the War of Will who won on the grass. I will be very interested to see.
I think, Mark's feeling, June's feeling, who bred her, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I get the sense that they kind of see her as a little more turfy. But that doesn't mean that she can't run on the dirt. She looks pretty damn good out there, or she has looked pretty damn good at Silver Springs on the dirt. So, but again, that's just for a short, 3 furlongs, gallop out of a half mile or something like that. It's not what she's done. So,
I was gonna say, I was like, Temple City Terror could technically breeze over the dirt too. It isn't, I don't, you know, it didn't necessarily mean she wanted to be on it.
it's that, they can all, look fairly decent for about a half mile on the dirt. It's what comes after that. So,
When it
but yeah, so
burns.
that's kind of where they are. Mackenzie, Secret Flame, Mackenzie, Philly, she is going to get a little bit of a break.
She's so big, you guys.
She's just such a big filly. And we've never had any idea of her doing anything other than running a route of ground, a route of ground on the dirt. So, we knew she's going to need a little extra time. There's just no reason to push it. Just take our time. She's been in the middle of a little growth spurt. So she started her break yesterday. and she will be off for 30 to 45 days just to grow up and mature. And but real happy with her. She looks good. She looks really she's just a little bit bigger every time I go out there and see her. So but she looks great. And then the Toms to Tot colt is man, he is really blossoming.
Yeah. I've got some
And he
nice
still has a
photos.
long way to go too.
Yeah, I've got some nice photos of him out in the field 'cause he's on turnout right now, and you could tell that he's watching me out of the corner of his eye. And I kept expecting him to kind of do what all the others do. They just turn around and you have a nice photo of their butt. But he was gung ho. It's like every time I got closer, he found out he kept turning, and he kept turning towards me, and I'm like, "Sir, I need you at the side." And he had to keep eyes on me the whole time. So he has a lot of personality. I like him. It seems to me like he's kind of a ham. Like he knows his good side, and he's trying to encourage you to photograph it.
That's right. And I had some new partners out there the weekend. It's not that this past Saturday, but the Saturday before this past. And there's a Saturday betwixt the Derby and the Preakness. And we just walked up to the fence, and he was on the other side, and he didn't really care about anything. And then so then we walked over towards the gate, and as soon as we got to the gate, and I just rattled the chain a little bit, he came running. He
Yep.
thought he was going to get out, but
Oh, so you bamboozled him.
yeah,
Rude,
and
Jared.
that's right. And we had some carrots there for him. We thought we might tempt him with some carrots, but he has not been introduced to them yet, and did not care for them. He bit the hell out of my hand, but he did not bite the carrot. But he did. He played around with it a little bit. And he kind of got in his mouth, and then he just kind of raised his head up and threw it. Has not discovered what those sweet treats are yet, just yet. So
They almost always
he'll figure it
learn.
out sooner or
I would
later.
say they almost always learn when they go to the track,
That's when it
and
happens.
that's almost always what happens.
Yeah, because right now they're getting that good grass that they love, and they don't have any
Yeah.
reason to get
Yeah.
into treats just yet. But once they get to the track, they'll start getting mints and apples and carrots and everything else.
Yep.
I think about the partners were a little disappointed that they didn't that he didn't eat out of the hand, but
I would
they
argue
didn't
there's
have
some
to spend
horses
too
you
much
don't
money
want
to
them
spend.
eating out of your hand, or it's the
Well, that's
option is
fair.
they'll eat your hand.
Yeah, he tried to take a good chunk out of me, but and not mean in any way, just playfully,
Yeah.
and but he is a good looking horse. He's changed a lot already.
Yeah.
And Mark's contention, and he says it every time we see him. He says, "Man, I love this horse. He is not, and you're not going to recognize him come September when he's ready to hopefully make his debut. He's just going to
Yeah.
look like a completely different horse."
Yep.
And so that's what we're looking for to him.
And he's gotten some good size to him too. Like that's not to say
He has, yeah.
he was small as a yearling, but he's picked up some good size, and he's filled out really well. He
He's
looks
filled out a lot.
very
He's
happy.
a little bit taller, but he's a whole lot beefier,
Yeah.
but in the right way. He's kind of
Yeah.
grown. He hasn't grown up as much. He's grown lengthwise, and he's grown widthwise. He's just filled out and just really doing great.
Very nice. And I know that our gentle giant, Accusatory, has made his way to Turfway, or Turfway to Silver Springs from Turfway.
Yeah, back at Silver
Casey.
Springs, he's got a little
Yeah.
ankle that popped up on him, and we're trying to get to the bottom of what's going on there.
Yep.
Haven't been able to get real good pictures yet. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, because
Yeah.
he's had some soft tissue damage there before.
That's better safe than sorry.
So we're just gonna
Yeah.
make sure that he's
Well,
okay,
Casey
and
can't
hopefully.
stop talking about him. She's the captain of his fan club. Loves him so much.
I've never been out to anywhere with him, with people that when they saw him, they weren't like, "Holy smokes, that is a beautiful horse."
Yeah.
And he is. He's just phenomenal. He's stunning looking, and he's so big, and he just man, he looks fantastic.
Blame his sire, Blame,
Yes.
in his days on the track was a gorgeous animal.
Showstopper.
He was spectacular. So he definitely takes after his daddy. His
That's right.
sire was a very, very good looking horse. And he has a lot of personality too. Like where Accusatory is described, the way Casey described him was just a gentle giant. Like he came off the truck, she goes, he was so classy, he was so nice to everybody. Like it was a joy. We had him for 5 minutes, I love him already. And then it's like where Blame is kind of more of like the class clown jokesters, the way they described him at Claiborne. And like there's so many pictures where people where he had does like the tongue tricks now, and people are just jazzed that he does those. So he definitely imparts, I think, a lot of his good mentality. And I think that does a lot, I think a lot in Accusatory's favor. That
Absolutely.
if a horse is gonna be able to get through this potentially, if it's not anything serious, it'll be him. 'Cause mentally I think he's very smart and he realizes he needs to be kind to himself. So
He's very, very classy. He's all business when he's got the tack on. At least that's my experience around him. And but he knows he's good looking because he will stop and kind of look at you with a side eye and say, "You're checking me out, right? Are you checking me out? Because you need to be checking me out." So hopefully nothing too serious. We can get him back on track here pretty soon.
Well, as you say, and speaking of kind of recoveries too, like King of the Party had some lingering tinkering things, and has he gone back yet, or is he still on his breaks?
No, King of Party is with Ethan. He's
Okay.
at Turfway
You
Park.
said her
He
way.
breezed a quarter, galloped out 3/8 on Saturday,
All
did
right.
really, really well. And seems to be coming into getting close, getting back to where he was before. He was so close to being ready to run before he got that little chip, and but now he's doing great. Ethan's real, real happy with him, and he's just ticking right along. Oscar season, another one that right like a week before, I think we found out about King of the Party. We got the deal with Oscar season. Same issue, a little chip in the knee. He is finishing up with Dermot. I think Dermot was planning on working this weekend at the Thoroughbred Center, and felt like if it goes well, he'll be ready to head up to Turfway to Brendan Walsh's barn up there. So he's close to getting back to the track.
We're gonna have a nice little fleet over there at the Walsh barn.
Yes, that seems to be the way we're headed. So, and Temple City Taboo, whenever she's ready, she's going to Brendan as well. I
I can't like every time you say that, I keep expecting to hear your Temple City Terror.
I still abbreviate her as TCT like we always do, Temple City Terror, and I still write Temple City Terror out sometimes because it just comes naturally.
I know.
But no, Temple City Taboo. I'm telling you what, that little filly. She is. I shouldn't say little. We've had a small Temple City before in Storm Temple Pilot,
Yeah,
but she
Storm
was
Temple
tiny.
Pilot. She was
She's
a
just a
rocket
small
ship though.
little
When she
rocket.
got rolling, she's gone.
She'd get out of the gate and just take off. And so Temple City Taboo is not huge, but she is very athletic and she is determined. I mean, you can see in her early works that she definitely wants to be a racehorse, and she is head down, ears forward. She is going and all business when she's out there, and really excited about what we've got with her coming up.
I think, we have the great I guess fortune that we can be patient with horses
That's right.
that are just telling us, look, I just need some time, and I think that at the end of the day, because that was, I remember very clearly one of the talking points with somebody that I had spoke to, not necessarily one of our partners, but somebody that I work with now, and the discussion that I had with him was, sometimes patience, while it looks foolish in the beginning, is just its own great reward later on. And and that was something he said was like she needed time. Like if you looked at her, I have 9 million photos of her. Just ask me and I'll send you one if you haven't seen her before. But she was all leg. She was leggy, leggy, leggy. I called her, the thoroughbred as they were meant to look. She had that very classic thoroughbred look.
like the paintings from the
Yeah.
late 1800s.
Yeah. Like, well, the way, I mean,
Character all
that's,
legs.
if you think about it, like, but that's the point though. Like, horses back then were doing like 1.5 mile trials, like, you know,
Sure.
like 2 weeks, you know, in the 2 weeks leading up to whatever race, and then they ran 3.5 and they were
That's right.
great, you know. So, not to say, you know, Temple City Terra was like a 1.5 mile long distance specialist, like turf marathon was her thing, but like, my conversation with this individual concluded with, I wonder where she, who she would have become if she did not end up with people that were as patient and as willing to wait for her as you guys were, because there were times where, you know, a lot of folks ask, well, yeah, like 10 starts, why didn't you just like drop her down somewhere? It's like, if you throw, if like if we see it, you don't think other trainers who train very well also will not see it? Like, that would have been like an insta claim. I very strongly believe that would have been the first, that would have been a instant claim.
Because she was always knocking at the door. It's
Yeah.
not like she was just getting her head run end to end
Oh,
every time
yeah.
she ran, you know.
Yeah.
So, but the patience is the, I think patience is the best attribute that anyone in this game
Yeah.
can have. It's we're in a fortunate situation that we're able to be that way. I understand not everybody who plays this game is in that position, and
Yeah.
I get that. But patience definitely can pay off. So,
Yeah.
and speaking of patience, we got some horses that are going to be making some debuts
Oh, yeah, that's
coming up
right.
here this week. We've been patient with a few 3 year a couple 3 year olds making their debut,
That's right.
and looking forward to them. We've got Hyperbolize, our homebred, on May 23rd at Belterra Park. We kind of called an audible. You know, we hadn't planned on running it and starting him out on the turf, but here we are. We're gonna put him on the turf. His mama was a turf horse. And Curlin, you know, being the sire of Exaggerator, Curlin can get you some turf horses. So we're gonna give him a shot on the turf. And then Temple City Magic, also slated to debut on Saturday, the 24th, at Belterra Park. Now we got rain coming in this towards the end of the week, so who knows if these races will stay on the turf. Hyperbolize is probably a decent chance he runs. Even if they come off the turf, it kind of depend on the track conditions, and you know, are they gonna prepare for that rain? Are they gonna seal it, or is it gonna be deep and thick and heavy
And goopy.
and just yeah, and
Wow.
pulling shoes off, you
Yeah.
know, because it's so thick. Also running this week, we got Carousing coming back. She's in the sixth at Horseshoe Indianapolis, also on Thursday. We are, you know, anxious to see her after her last race in which she bled. So we've, you know, she's certified bleeder now, so she'll be on a little more Lasix than she's been on in the past. So hopefully she can show what she's meant to be, because she certainly didn't get to show that last time. And then we got Banshee Moon, bless her heart. She's been running as hard as she can, hadn't been working out for her, but you know, she ought to be able to. If she's not competitive against this bunch, then you know, it's probably, honestly, it's not probably trying to find her a new career. But if she's competitive, she doesn't have to win. She needs to be in the mix and
I
be
love
shown that
her.
she wants to be a racehorse. She's such a
Yeah.
sweet little filly,
Yeah. I
and
love
you know,
her to pieces.
she's one of those that just never quite developed like we'd hope she would. You know, she never turned into, you know, a big Malibu Moon filly like we thought that she might. She just kind of stayed a little bit smaller, and you can see it. You know, when she's in the paddock or out on the track warming up in races, you can definitely see that she can be a little bit on the smallish side compared to a lot of the horses she's run out against. So, but yeah, so we got those four in, and we're going to enter Double Neat on Thursday. Hopefully, get him back in, because he just keeps getting either knocked off the turf or you can't draw in. So hopefully we can get him back in at Horseshoe. Decided to go ahead and run him there just because it's the first one that's coming up, and we didn't want to miss the opportunity if we can get in. If he doesn't get in here, then we'll look at Churchill again.
Because that's kind of been the story of Irish Aces's life as well. Like, he just keeps either not drawing in, something rains, like the dinner party. I mean, we were supposed to enter him. We were seriously considering the dinner party, but like, I mean, Frankie Dettori on a turf course looked like he was running on the main track. He's like, there was so much water, so much mud, so much anything on that turf course. He, you know, it was very much it was for horses for courses. That was definitely what that dinner party turned into.
Yep. So he stayed home. We're looking at the Arlington at Churchill on June 1. There's an allowance, I think, 2 days before, so we're still talking about that.
Yep.
So marking
Has
that
the
one off.
Arlington
So
looked like it's come up tough, or do we know anything?
yes.
Oh, as always. Tough as all get out.
But who knows who shows up, but the
Yeah.
nominations are pretty tough, so.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Well, I mean, either way, it's nice that at least we can maybe try and get one of these allowances going, because like allowances at Churchill still pay a pretty penny, so it's not that
Oh, absolutely.
it's not that.
I would be perfectly content with getting an allowance, so
And then once again, if
see how
we,
it shakes
I was gonna
out.
say, once again, if we want to, we can chuck him down to Kentucky Downs and pick up some steaks quality money anyway. So.
Well, I have to think that assuming he's happy and healthy and going right, I have to think Kentucky Downs will be in the mix for him.
Yeah.
I
I
imagine Brennan
wonder how
wants to
he'd
send
like
him
that.
up. Brennan may want to send him up to Saratoga. I think that's on the table too. So we just have to see what happens.
Yeah, I will be very interested to see how he handles a more European style course. That'd be very interesting.
I think, yeah, it's on the table for sure.
Cool. So there we go. That's actually a lot of very interesting and exciting kind of tidbits. So we've got a lot to look forward to. So folks, by the time you hear it, make sure that you keep an eyeball open for these debutantes coming up this week. We're very excited for them. Do you have anything else you want to broach, approach? Are we good,
No,
you
I
think?
think I'd say we talked long enough. Let's let people get back
Their
to their
lives.
Wednesdays.
All right, well, folks, you heard it here first. We're going to keep this nice and short. Make sure that you're following us on all of our social medias. We're under Pocket Aces Racing. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. We are slowly starting to populate our YouTube channel. Yay! So make sure that you are following us over there. We're also under Pocket Aces Racing. It's the one and only. I've heard recently that there is a Pocket Aces like group in terms of like poker or something, because we keep getting tagged for stuff for them occasionally.
Okay.
We are not the poker group. We are the racehorse group.
To be fair, we did start over poker.
That is true, but we are not a poker group now. But hey, if they want to sponsor us, I will very happily let Pocket Aces sponsor Aces up this league.
There you go. There you go.
But yeah, so, there you go, folks. Maybe next time you hear us, the Pocket Aces will be sponsored by Pocket Aces.
Get it done. Make it happen.
All right, folks. Well, before we start getting crazy over here, have a happy Wednesday. Have a good Wednesday. Make good choices. The podcast is out.